Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Let's appreciate the gift of God.
Good morning. Please sit. Ocholi sang, so I decided that I'm going to sing a song as well. Not because I envy him, but because really the song I'm going to sing is the reason why I am able to stand in front of you. I'm going to speak to you this morning about defining family values. Here is my song. Beautiful, beautiful, Jesus makes beautiful. Jesus makes beautiful the things of your life. He cares for you, he's touching you, he's causing your eyes to see. Jesus makes beautiful the things of your life. Beautiful, beautiful, Jesus makes beautiful. Jesus makes beautiful the things of my life. He cares for me, he's touching me, he's causing my eyes to see. Jesus makes beautiful the things of my life. Yes, this is a church. So I can tell you that it is because you have been crucified with Christ. This life that you live, it is now by faith that you live it. And you have nothing. You have no opinion. You have no rights. You have nothing. The reason that you are standing at all is because Jesus took your place. In my devotion this morning, I read when Jesus was taken to Pilate. I read it in Luke. I also read it in John. And one of the things that struck me again about it is that Jesus was innocent. That is, Pilate looked at him and said, I don't have any reason to sentence this man. And the only reason that Jesus was sentenced and crucified is because of everything that makes me and you an anathema. Everything that makes me and you somebody that God will not want to have anything to do with. That is the reason why Jesus was crucified. And so, when you have been crucified with him, and you are buried with him, and you are raised up, you have nothing. Only what he says is what you have. I'm going to share my story with you. Defining family values. The power of what God can do with a life that is totally surrendered. First of all, pause, reflect. If you look at the past 1 week and you ask yourself, What was the first thing I did every day of that last week? As you answer that question, you already know what your values are. If you look at how you spent your time the last 1 week, if you are honest with yourself, you already know what your values are. Your values are not something that you are going to begin to find out. Whether you like it or not, your life is already reflecting your values. In 2016, I took the Family Systems Engineering Program, and there they taught us, you know, that we should have systems, we should have processes. And I was saying, I wish I knew this thing many years ago. You know, there are many things I would have taught my children. Lo and behold, I had actually taught my children many things. Why? You are currently systems, processes, values. The fact that you are not conscious of it does not make it any less. How did I know? Two things. My children's room are always very untidy. I came in on that day and I saw my husband's room, the room that myself and my husband shared, and I saw where all my clothes were thrown, and I saw all the things that were scattered, and I said to myself, Dupe, you have been teaching your children. Of course, as a good Lagos woman who used to leave home at 6 and come back at 8 because of work, I had good reasons for the state of my room being that way. And that was when I also recognized the second value I had passed on to my children. Work is more important than anything else. You know, it was humbling for me. Because at the time I was taking this course in 2016, my oldest child was already 30. So for those of you who are parents here, and indeed for all of us, you want to really stop and reflect on your life and ask yourself, if I look at myself now, what are my values? You probably got those values from your parents or the community that you grew up in. When we talk about adultery and about cheating, part of the reason why it is very rampant amongst us is because boundaries is not one of the values that we promote in our community. We do not think that anybody should have boundaries. We think that we should be a people who do what we like. I said I would tell you my story. I am more fortunate than Ocholi. But I am proud of Ocholi because what Ocholi is doing is what my father did. My father was born in a polygamous home. His parents died before he was 10. Essentially, it means that he had to figure out life by himself. I am grateful to God. Why? Because by reason of God's providence, he was made to be a man who is going to think, what is my life about? What are the values that I'm going to build my life on? And he was a man who was conscious of the values that he was going to do. My siblings and I, we benefited from that one singular decision by a man who had no model to decide that he was going to be the last person who will not have a model. My father did not have people like you would say you have today. But Ocholi told us something. When a man is looking for God, in Jeremiah says, ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you did not know. If there is a verse that has been very true in my life, it is that verse. You don't need to know what you are asking God for. You just need to know that you are looking to God for giving you direction in areas where you don't even know what it is that you are looking for. And I believe that that was what happened with my father. And when he met his wife, he decided that their family was going to be a family that is based on values. My mother came along and she contributed her own portion. Her own father and mother stayed with her until they were very advanced in years. In fact, I remember that my grandfather, one of them died the year I was supposed to get married. That's how long they stayed. And what did my mother bring? My mother brought an upbringing according to the Bible. Now, a man who has no knowledge, no awareness, meets a woman who was brought up to know God and to have respect for the word of God. My father never went to church for many years. However, the impact of the values from the Bible that had been taught to my home, to my mom, played a big role in our home. It helped them to talk about issues. And I'm saying this because sometimes we carry the Bible on our head. It is not the Bible you carry on your head. It is the letter that is written in your life that is more important. And so, I was 16 and I finished secondary school. Developing family values. And all my mates were going abroad. And I said to my father, I would like to go to university abroad. And my father said, you're a brilliant child. I too would like you to go to university abroad. However, if I send you to university abroad, I will not be able to educate your siblings. I would like for you to go to university in Nigeria. And God will help me. All of you will go abroad for your masters. What was my father teaching me in that? He was sharing his values with me. He was saying, you know, we're a family. We don't leave anybody behind. I can take you forward, but taking you forward might result in other people. That was the first thing. Secondly, in a family, we think about one another. My father did not owe it to me to explain that, but he realized that if I don't understand it as a child, I will not be able to live it as an adult. And that particular, what I just said to you, is the story of what used to happen in my home. Family values were communicated to us by living it out. Family values were communicated to us by interacting with us. I remember graduating from university and being 21, and I was telling my mother, I don't like what daddy is doing. And then she said, I'm very happy you are seeing it, but you see, you are now a graduate, you are now 21. Why don't you go and meet him and tell him what you are not happy about, and both of you? And she said, in fact, from now on, I cannot be the intermediary between you and your father anymore, because you would need to be talking to your father directly. What was my mom doing there? My mom knew that I'm going to be living with other people. My mom knew that people are going to be stepping on my toes. My mom actually knew that I will have to learn to live with many other adults. And so she created that. But the thing is that my mom did not start when I was 21. My mom started much earlier. And so when there'd be misunderstanding between me and my siblings, or we will fight, my mom will listen, and then she would listen, and then she would say, okay, you know, from what you have told me, you know, and then she would talk, and she would make us talk to one another. And there is something that I always remember. At the end of it, we hugged. And we hugged because, according to my mom, a hug shortens the distance between two people. What was my mother doing? My mother was communicating family values to us. I am 63 now. It is very hard for me to call anybody an idiot. It is very, in fact, I say it maybe when I'm teaching like this, but you would not hear such a thing from me or from any of my siblings. Why? Because in the home that I grew up in, my mother, my father said, you only say what you mean. So why would I say your head is not correct and then turn around and say I was only joking? You couldn't do such a thing because really, when you open your mouth, you should do. Defining and developing family values. That's the reason why I say, if you look at your life right now, you would know the values that you have gotten to this point with. The question you want to ask yourself is this: the values that currently define you, are those the values that you want to continue life with? And it's a very, very important question that you should ask yourself. I remember that when I got onto social media in the last couple of years, you know, every year before, oh, I love this. Oh, I love your dress. Oh, you know, and the more that I studied the word love, the more that I started understanding that, should we be using this word very generally? And I had to undergo an education that every time I started typing, oh, I love what you said, I will delete it again. And then write, I like what you said. Why? It was still that value of what you are saying. Is that what you intended? That was taught to me many years ago that is still staying with me. What are family values? Family values are the values or the principles that you have decided will be the pillar of your life. As I said, you have a choice. You can choose them consciously, or you can just flow with whatever comes your way. So you want to ask yourself, what are the things that currently define my life? If you speak to me, or to my siblings, or to our children, or to people who are connected with us, you would be told that family is a value for us. Integrity, who you are inside or outside, is a value for us. The word of God is a value that we prize very highly. Those are the three things that define who we are. And how do you know this? You know it by our interaction. You can't be with me for a long time. This morning, I actually came here and I sat before I mentioned to somebody that I was one of the speakers. And they say, And I said to them, it didn't really matter. I just really wanted to be amongst the people. Why? Simplicity for me is a value. Because the thing is, when I stand before you now, hopefully, when you see me in the market, and I didn't even know that you are looking at me, who you are seeing now is who you should also see in the market. And those are the things that you must begin to ask yourself. Who you tell yourself that you are is not what is important. Who do the people around you say that you are? Husbands, who does your wife say that you are? Wives, who do your husbands say that you are? Parents, who do your children say that you are? Children, who do your parents say that you are? I have my Bible opened to Exodus. Because sometimes when we talk about family values, it's good for us to know that the first person who campaigned family values to us is God. And how do I know it? You know, if you read Genesis, when God was soliloquizing and was asking himself, should I tell Abraham what I am about to do? God said of Abraham, I trust him. He is going to teach his children. And not just his children, he's going to teach all the people in his household. Now, when God took Abraham, God didn't take Abraham for himself. I mean, we all love Abraham. He's the father of faith. There are many things we like about him. But the primary reason God chose Abraham is because God knew that he needed to show human beings how he will relate with them. And so he chose Abraham. And Abraham was to be the seed. Through Abraham was going to come a tribe that when God has related with them, human beings will now be knowing this is how God wants to relate with us. And so when God chose Abraham, God began to teach Abraham how to live with him. All of the things that we see, Ocholi told us about restraint. I was singing in my heart as he was saying that. I think the thing that has ruined the church the most is the freedom that we have gotten in Christ. Why? Because we do not understand that the freedom was not given to us in order to paint the world red. The freedom was given to us so that we can be people who willingly give our freedom to God and say, I am free to do whatever I like. However, because you require me to live in this way, I want to honor you by living in this way. So that was what God was building in Abraham. If you see him listening to his wife, it's not because he didn't know that she did wrong. It's because he was trying to figure out, this freedom that I have in God, how am I supposed to use it? He made mistakes. God corrected him. You remember, is he not the same man who was afraid for his life? And then went and said his wife should stay to Abimelech, that is her sister. All of that does not make Abraham a bad person. All of that was Abraham trying to understand this relationship I have with God. How exactly is it supposed to be? And for every error Abraham made and God brought him back, Abraham grew in capacity. And that is the reason why Abraham got to the place where when God gave him a son after 25 years and God now said, give me the son, Abraham was able to give the son and say, I don't know how you're going to do it, but these 25 years that I've been working with you, if there is one thing I understand about you now, you know what you're doing. Now, all that, when Abraham's descendants went into Egypt and it was time to go out, again, God began to show, you know, this is one man now who had now become many people. God's purpose was still the same. The same values that God taught to Abraham. These are the values that God began to teach to the children of Israel as they were about exiting Egypt. And when they exited Egypt, Exodus 19, that's where I'm going to read now. Exodus 19, verse 1, exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and they set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth, for all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. When God is training a man or a woman to have values, he would speak to him one-on-one. He would interact with him one-on-one. But once that one man becomes many, a transition happens. Many of us look at the laws that God gave to the Israelites as laws. I always laugh when people say, we are no longer in the Old Testament, you know, all kinds of things. Essentially, what God was saying to the Israelites then was, I have taken to you from one man. You are now a multitude. There needs to be things that people are going to see, that they are going to know that you are not like everybody else. That was what the Ten Commandments was about. That was what all of the explanations that followed it. And if you read Leviticus and you read Deuteronomy, you would see God repeatedly saying, you must not be like the people around you. There would be things that God will say and say, you cannot do like them. Why? Because you're a different people. Family values, that's what they are. They are values that help people to know that when we see and they hear him, we know who they are. Family values help you to make decisions as a family. One of the things we tell people when we do premarital counseling for them is that if a couple can identify the values that they're going to build their home on and they're working with it, when they have misunderstandings, they don't need to tear their hair out. They say, this grammar we are speaking, are we applying our values? And usually, they don't need any angel from anywhere because the person who is not applying the value immediately sees himself and calls himself to order. Values define for you what kind of behavior, what kind of decisions, what kind of attitude should we have to life, what is okay for us and what is not okay for us. And so, begin with yourself. For husbands and wives who are here, then you need to sit together and ask yourself, what are our values? What are my values? The exercise I do with young couples who are getting married is I give them a list of about 60 words that can define different values. And then I tell each of them to choose 10. Now, when they choose 10, usually they're thinking, if they chose different words, they conclude that it must mean that they have different values. No, it's just the beginning of the journey. So, for example, if both of them choose honesty, I ask them, okay, so what does honesty mean for you? What would it mean practically to be honest? If I grew up in a home where they beat me when I'm honest, if I lie, am I being dishonest? The goal of this kind of conversations is to help the couple to come to a common understanding of the word they're using to define their values. Sometimes they will choose different words. And when we begin to have these conversations, we'll realize that, I mean, there is a young couple that they were almost not going to marry because the young man thought that his wife did not want to respect him and submit to him. So when we were having the conversation, I asked him, okay, what are the practical things that she will do that will make you to know that she's respecting? And he started to explain. And then the young lady said, that's not respect, that's admiration. And, you know, so it means that they've been having a great fight because the man wanted respect. The woman, on the other hand, every time she had the word respect, she was remembering all the people who had been oppressed by their husbands and the church supported them and all those kind of things. So she, meanwhile, what her husband wanted was something that she was very happy to do. But because of the description that it was given to it, so that's the reason why you have to have the conversation. So if you list what your own values are and your spouse lists what their own value is, then that is just step one. Then we will have many conversations. So this word, what does it mean to you? So when we are living it out, what will be the practical way of it? And this conversation will go on for some time until you arrive at words which both of you understand, words which describe, words which explain what it is. So for example now, freedom is one value in my own home. And so when I told my husband, Lighthouse Church have invited me to go and speak there. He doesn't know Lighthouse Church. However, he knows, he believes. One of the first things that my husband said to me when he met me is, how can't you not walk? God, who gave you a first-class brain, I have first-class honors in chemical engineering, knew what he was doing. And so I would always have to be ready to allow you to do whatever it is that God wants you to do. And so freedom in my home means that I don't have to explain everything to my husband. Once it comes under that category of God has gifted you, you are going to bless the world with your gift. Now, under Jesus Christ, it is me who now has to use that freedom and remember that the freedom that my husband gives me and which my family holds as a value is subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In that home, can we have quarrels? Does he need to know everything? He doesn't need to know everything, not because I don't want to tell him, but because he knows that I am accountable to an authority that is even higher than him. And so when Christians are looking at family values, it's not just, you know, the world also has values and it is good. But what makes it a gift to the world for Christians is that they understand that their duty in upholding that value is for the honor of the God that gave them life. So, step one, identify your individual values. Step two, enter into conversation with your partner over an extended period of time to arrive at an understanding of what those values are. Then you don't wait until you get it perfect. You begin to live it out. When you are interacting with one another, you want to ask yourself, the way that I'm interacting in this. I said I was going to shock you. September 7 was our 37th wedding anniversary. On October 1, myself and my husband had a major blowout. And when I say we had a major blowout, that's exactly what I mean. Something happened between us. He got cross. I got cross. You see, I can't even say I got angry. That's the how where I'm coming from, you know. I got cross, he got cross. I was traveling that day. So I looked at it and I said, I think I just went with a flourish and said, well, I have to go and catch my flight. We'll talk about that when I come back. And I went off. I got to where I was going. And wow. I called my husband. He didn't answer the phone. Wow. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Then I started getting angry. I said, you are a good woman. You always, you know, whenever things happen, you always take things calmly. This time, there is no way. When you get back home, you are not going to say anything if he doesn't say sorry. That's after 37 years. But God knew. God knew. You know how I knew God knew? One of my young friends had advertised the Romantic Woman Challenge sometime in September. And I was the very first person to register for that program. And that program was starting in October. Right in the middle of this. So as soon as that challenge started, I said, okay, Dupe. God knew that this blowout will happen. And he already knew that you are going to carry shoulder. Now he has put you in this romantic woman's challenge with all these young women. I'm not the person teaching, oh, me too, I want to learn, Neo. And then Chris, the organizer of the challenge, assignment number one. Write a letter to your partner telling them all the things that you love and appreciate about them. Ha! I'm not feeling like this man is anything at all. But you see, as a good disciple of Jesus Christ, I wrote to the people in the group. I said, I'm sure you people are going to be shocked, but I will obey this, I will do this exercise, but it is very difficult for me to do because right now, I don't feel like talking to this man. So I picked up my pen and I started to write. I actually wrote 6 pages. So immediately, I was reminded that the blowout is just what? A blowout. Something that happens between two human beings. I was now looking and I was now thinking. So how am I going to proceed? My husband said he thought that I was doing the exercise because as Mrs. Wright fits marriage, I'm always teaching people. So when he got the letter, he's thinking, you are using me to teach your people. He didn't respond at all. That made me more upset. Eventually, about a week with God talking, then he said, do you remember what you said? And yours truly, people of God, everything I said on that October 1 has evaporated from my head. I didn't remember anything. But every single thing I said, including the I'm off to the airport, when I come back, we will remember it. My husband remembered. Everything was hedged in his memory. So the attitude he was giving me was because he felt hurt. And I didn't know it. And I was also getting hurt. However, because of the values that we have as a family, we kept coming back to talk about it. Even though we will talk about it, and then, you know, somebody will go off in a huff, and the other person will go off in a huff, our value says you cannot leave the matter unattended to. So we kept talking about it and talking about it and talking about it until finally we were able to honestly say to one another that we had let it go. You will have conflict. The reason that you will have conflict is because you came from different places. And if you have not consciously sat down to define what your family values are, you are going to even have a lot of conflict. Why? Your values determine the decisions you make about life. Sometimes when somebody wants to go this way and the other person wants to go this way, essentially what is showing up is what they hold dear. Now, if I hold this way dear and you hold this way dear, and both of us have never sat down to say, when we hold different things dear, how do we come to a place where we can go forward together without losing ourselves? Then you will continue to have conflict. So step one, identify your values. Step two, take time to discuss extensively with your partner. Then create rituals. When you have identified these values, they're not going to become a part of your life just because you identified them. Create rituals. What are rituals? After 37 years, myself and my husband still have one meal together every day. It's not because of anything. It's just that that's the time when we gist and sort of catch up with one another's day. So it means that no matter what happens in this world, me and him, Sha, we must gist together in the evening. It may be about the news. It may be about anything. You know, have rituals. What are things that you're going to do together? The time that I have, myself and my husband have conversations, is in the morning. I wake up very early. He wakes up very late. I stand up and go and do all the things I want to do. Then around the time that he's going to wake up, I come back. And then we sit, we pray. Sometimes the conversation starts and then takes a long time. But it is a deliberate thing. Now, we have days that may not happen. But you see, because we're conscious of it, if after a couple of days, you know, we're running into 1 week, it hasn't happened, we call ourselves, you know, and say, something is... Yeah. And because we have related with the children in this way, even when they were at home, now that they are not at home. So, for example, I think about 2 weeks ago, I looked at it and I realized that it's around 3 months since we all as a family sat together. Then I sent a message to my children and I said, people, let's have a Zoom meetup, you know, and everything. And we looked at a date and we agreed this evening we're going to have that Zoom meetup. We live in different cities, but it is a conscious decision. And when we are having a meetup like we're going to have this evening, it's not a hello, how are you, and everything. It's going to be what's the state of union with you? What's happening in your life, you know, and everything. And me and my husband, as old as we are, will also tell our children what is going on. It is not just that we are accountable to them. If my children are going to nurture my grandchildren well, I better begin to show them how to do it with me. So the rituals you create, you know, the birthday celebrations, it's not just the gifts. For me, the gifts are good. But, you know, is that a day when you look at your partner or you look at your child and you say, let everybody tell Lagbaja what you appreciate about them. And when you finish, let everybody tell Lagbaja the areas we think that Lagbaja should do better. You know, so what are the rituals you are putting in place? Because the things that you are doing, I share one more story. When I started working, my father retired. And as I was rising, I was being confronted with corruption and I was really worried about how to do it. You know, and then my father had a property that he had bought, mortgage, and he found out that property was about to be taken from him after he had retired. And God intervened. How did God intervene? It was brought to his notice, and the organization that mortgaged it, the MD called him and said, okay, Papa, if you will pay all what is left, what these young people are bringing up will not. And you know what that did for me? I said, Dupe, you're a civil servant. You can be a person of integrity. God will take care of you in your old age. Why? Because I saw my father live a life of integrity, and I saw God provide for my father in his old age. In fact, that property that God saved for him turned out to be, the income from that property turned out to be what my father lived on until he died. And so I was able to face my work because I saw in the life of my parents that if they trust God, God took care of them. And so when I'm talking to my children now, and they say, this way you are teaching us, we cannot survive in Nigeria. I say, well, I totally agree with you. However, your grandfather lived this way, and God took care of him. So as for taking care, you don't have to worry. What is required of you is for you to live by this value that your family is known for, and you will be held. So you live out, you will talk to your children about the values, but please, talking to your children about your values is the lowest. In fact, if you are talking about your values and you are not living your values, your children will never, ever, ever adopt those values that you are given. Do rituals. Live out your values. Let your children know why things are done. More importantly, your children are not too little to be allowed to live out their values. What do I mean? In today's world, we care for our children too much. We want to protect them. We make decisions for them. We do a lot of things for them. When my daughter was 10 years old, I have no idea of what God had in the future for her. But at 10, she told my husband and said, I don't want to go to this school that you want me to go to. And I was like, this kind of girl that is having strong will at 10. So I called her aside and I said, you know what? Our family is one, and God speaks to all of us. It seems to me that God is saying something to Daddy, and God is saying something to you. So you know what we are going to do? Let us all be praying. The way we will know what God wants us to do is that he will change the mind of everybody and make all of us to agree. I said, but however, I can see that God gave you a strong will. A strong will is a precious gift. But anybody who is going to serve God with a strong will has to learn to bring that will to subjection to God. So I didn't say to her, you have to listen to your daddy. I realized that she needed to start learning how to subject her will to God. And as we went on in the journey, I then said to her, I said, well, you know, in this home, the person who is having the money is daddy. And when you are the person who is going to pay the bill, that gives you some power. I said, so we will continue to campaign and everything. But you see, as people who are very lawful under God, if the person who has the money says that this is where we are going to go, you see, your life is in the hand of God. Wherever you go, God is going to take care of you. For me, she was not too little to begin to understand that she has freedom. But that freedom will only serve her and serve the world if she learns to subject it to God. And so, me and my husband were representatives of God in her life. When I would be away to work as well, and the lady I was having looking after them, you know, they was, I said, no, this lady is representing me here. If you're unhappy with her, you must still speak to her respectfully, because it is me that you are speaking to. And when I get home. So those are practical, you know, your values have to be lived out. They have to be lived out practically and demonstrated to God. Demonstrated to your children. But you do need, especially in today's world, and I'm going to close with that. Ocholi has said a lot of things about single people. Many singles are where they are today because their parents took too much responsibility for them. So when you have a 30-year-old and you have the parents say to the 30-year-old, this is what I say you should do. Why are you disagreeing with me? There is something very wrong. If that 30-year-old has been rightly nurtured, that 30-year-old should take decisions that parent will have no fear about. Will they make mistakes? Yes. They will make mistakes. But was God afraid for Abraham to make mistakes? No. Because God knows that, when you make a mistake and you have somebody who loves you, guiding you, what it does for you is that it grows your appreciation for whatever it is that they tell you. When you make all the decisions, when you do all the things for your children as they grow older, what happens is that they become people who have no confidence in their own decisions. They become people who cannot weigh options. They become people who cannot calculate risks. And half the time, when single people meet other single people, those are the three things that are worrying them. One, they are not able to judge character. Two, they're not able to calculate risks. Three, they're not able to weigh options. And so we want to ask ourselves, especially those of you whose children are still little, do you want to be the people that will still be carrying your children when they are adults? Or do you want to give them values that you have lived out before them and you have taught them to live out, such that whether you are there or not? My sons did something this year. And when they did it, I said to them, your grandfathers will be proud of you. Why? How my sons responded to the family member who was misbehaving is exactly the way that their grandfathers would have responded if they are alive. That is the power you have to pass on life under God. God bless you.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,